nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that He can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do.
Amen.
In just one word, you hear what's broken inside.
Your stripes, I am healed. In the freedom you died for. Lifted up, O Lord, we glorify you, Jesus, the name of above every name of our Savior, Jesus, name of our healer, our deliverer, the name of our mighty King, we bless you, we praise you, Lord.
You wait for something. You're waiting for me. Hear my voice. Hear me when I say, you are my children forever and ever, and I am your God. Seek me, and you will find.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children, children of the Most High God, who has invited us into your presence. And into your amazing grace. You've called us, O Lord, to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find help and mercy in our time of need. We declare this morning we stand in need of you today. We need you, Lord. We thank you for your closeness this morning. O Lord, we want to call our pastors and our prayer teams forward quickly this morning, if you would please, brothers and sisters. So that we may have time to bring our needs to the Lord right now. If you'd like to have someone agree together with you in prayer this morning. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will bring healing to the sick. If you need healing, come today. If you have other needs that you'd like for us to agree with this morning, now's the time. Step out of your seat. Make your way to the prayer teams. Wave at us, Joe Don and Kirsten up there. Wave at us, Rich and Jill up there. Prayer teams up there in the balcony. Prayer teams over here, David and Brenda, and over here, Owen and Bev. Please, if you'd like prayer this morning, take time to move right now. And let's believe that the Lord can touch us this morning as we agree together. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Mighty is your name. Mighty is your name, Jesus. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Powerful in the midst of your people, Lord. Your word is alive today, O Lord. We believe your promises, O God. In Jesus' name. Worthy is your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you deserve all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal today, Jesus, by your mighty power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we go to the Lord together in prayer, we want to lift up one another this morning. We want to lift up Keith and Rebecca. I think I saw you back there. The Jackson's back here. Keith's father went home to be with the Lord this week. We've been praying for your family, that the Lord would touch you and bring comfort and peace. We're thankful for the promise of heaven, aren't we? Amen. Our dear brother Charlie Weaver, longtime member of our church family, Charlie and Darlene. Charlie went home to be with the Lord early Saturday morning. And we pray the Lord would minister to Darlene and supply for her everything she needs. Matt, we just got word that Carrie's grandmother just passed away into the presence of the Lord just a little bit ago. I think she's still working in the nursery this morning. We pray the Lord will touch her and comfort her and bless that family in the midst of this season. We want to lift up those in our congregation who've been sick in the hospital, struggling this week. Some of you are here today after going through a difficult time this week. The Lord knows you. He knows where you are. He loves you. He wants to touch you. He wants to minister to you. And we thank the Lord for that. We're trusting that the Lord will meet you right at your point of need. And I just encourage you this morning just to grab hold of the Lord. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I became very desperate. And he said, I wrapped my fingers in the garments of God. I'll never forget that illustration. And I hung on to the Lord. And when we face troubled times, we hang on to the Lord. And pray that the Lord will touch us. Do we have that video ready, Bill, this morning? Last Sunday morning, we prayed for one of our little babies who was having surgery this week in Baltimore. And we have a post-surgery greeting this morning. Do we have that? There she looks like she's getting back to normal, doesn't she? She can't see me, but I feel obliged to wave back at her this morning. That's little Huntley. We have, and I called upon you, congregation, in the 8:30 service last Sunday to be praying this week for baby Huntley and for the family as they travel. And I know that you were praying. We thank God for successful surgery and for the Lord's touch in their lives. And we know that the Lord is able to complete the good work he has begun. Would you say amen? Amen and amen. Well, we want to say a word of happy birthday to one of the oldest members of our congregation, Don Dickey. 67 years old today. Happy birthday, Don. I want to say you may be seated, everybody. I want to say welcome to one of our very special first-time visitors today. In fact, it's the newest member of the Perkins family. And Jordan and Sarah, would you stand up and show off baby Eva today? She's just a few weeks old, and I saw her this morning, and I said, that was worth coming to church for this morning. Congratulations, Jordan and Sarah, and welcome to baby Eva this morning. Pastor Bob, I believe you have the rest of the announcements for the day. We're going to welcome our missionaries here. You'll see them because you'll notice the shoes as they make their way to the platform. Come on, Keith and Delcy. Bob, make an introduction. Come on.
Yes, come on up.
Join
Keith
us here.
And Delcy, these are our missionaries with Asia
today.
Pacific Media. Come on up today. And would you just share and greet the audience today?
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Keith. This is my wife, Delcy. We are your missionaries that you support with a ministry called Asia Pacific Media, which is located in Manila, Philippines, but we do ministry all across Asia Pacific. We create media resources that are used for evangelism and discipleship. And then we also go around all across the region teaching churches how to effectively use social media as a ministry tool and how to create their own video content. And we are your partners. Everything that we have accomplished in our first term is a result of you. And so first and foremost, we just want to come to you this morning. We just want to say, maraming salamat po. Thank you very much for your partnership. And this is my first time to be here before you, and so I just want to give you an update about what you were able to accomplish. As we are Jefferson City First Assembly of God, Manila, okay, I want to tell you what you guys have accomplished in our first 3 years as missionaries in Asia Pacific. So 1 year after we arrived in the Philippines, the president of the Philippines got on the national TV and says, we're going to shut down for 2 weeks in order to flatten the curve. You remember those words? Okay? Those 2 weeks turned into the longest continual lockdown in the entire world. Now, let me explain to you what it was like in the Philippines during that time. The day after, we had military and national police all in the streets. You could not go in Metro Manila. You could not leave your neighborhood. The only way you could leave is if you had papers saying that you were authorized to leave. Only one person was allowed to leave their household at a time. And it wasn't that you could leave, come back, and your wife could go out. Only one person was allowed to leave, period. And in order to be that person, you had to have a government-issued ID stating that you were the authorized person to leave your house. Not only did we have a face mask mandate, we had a plastic face shield mandate as well. You had to wear that anytime that you were outside of your house. If you did not have one on, you could be arrested and you could be fined. If you were over the age of 65, for 2 years, you've not been allowed out of your house. If you were under age 16 or under, for 2 years, you were not allowed out of your house. And for the better part of 2 years, most churches, especially in Metro Manila, did not meet together in person. What would that do to your budget, Pastor? What would that do to your youth ministry? What would that do to your men's ministry? So the day after the president made this announcement, we began getting calls from pastors all across the country saying, how are we going to survive 2 weeks without meeting? And so we put together a series of videos basically on how do you take this device that we all carry in our pockets, how do you set it up in front of you, how do you hook it up to the computer, how do you record yourself, and how do you broadcast yourself? Real simple, basic on how do you do a live stream. That series went viral. We then began inundated with questions after questions, technical questions on how they are going to live stream their services during these 2 weeks. And we were so inundated, we said we had to come up with a way in order to consolidate these questions, or we're just going to spend these 2 weeks just answering emails. So we created a Facebook group called the Media Ministry Forum, and we invited pastors and churches all across the region to join, and they did. And in there, we just basically walked them through the process as we just learned together, as we came together as a community and learned together how to minister during a worldwide global pandemic. We also began to do webinars every other week, just trying to build up a technological knowledge base and just encouraging pastors during this entire time. Right now, we have over 5,500 members in that media group. 38,000 people attended our webinars last year. Now, let me put that into perspective here. Let me tell you what that actually means. In the most difficult time in modern history to do ministry, when you weren't allowed to meet, you weren't allowed to do visitation, you weren't allowed to even have a funeral, you weren't allowed to even leave your neighborhood, when you weren't allowed to come together, these people, in the most difficult times, they didn't just sit down in their living rooms in front of their computers and say, what about my rights? What about my rights? They found a way to be the church of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the hope and truth and love that can come only through Him. And they found the way to do it was by this. My favorite thing to share with you is basically this. It's a quote from the General Superintendent of the General Council of the Philippines. He said this. You know what? Because of what? You know that church in Jefferson City, Missouri? First Assembly? Because what that church in Asia Pacific Media did at the beginning of the pandemic with the videos and the webinars? Hundreds and hundreds of churches have been saved. People that would have been scattered have been recovered, have been gathered. Finances that would have been lost have been recovered. And even in the midst of a pandemic, the gospel has been proclaimed and the kingdom of God has expanded. So on behalf of the churches of Asia Pacific, on behalf of the General Council of the Philippines, on behalf of the staff of Asia Pacific Media, I just want to say, First Assembly of God, Jefferson City, thank you so very much. God bless you.
Amen. We will receive that as today's sermon, so let's stand and close. No, don't do that. Praise God. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for bringing that powerful report today. As you were sharing, I was reminded that Jesus declared that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. So let's give Keith and Delcy again another hand clap of appreciation. We appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for allowing us to partner with you guys. You guys mean so much, and thank you for being here today. We do have a few other announcements that we want to share with you. First of all, we do want to take a moment and welcome those that might be visiting for the first time today. If that's you, we want to ask you to take a moment to fill out the Connect card that's located directly in front of you and take that to our Welcome Center right after service, which is located in the lobby, and turn that in. We'll have a record of your visit and get get to know you a little bit better. And we also have a gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. So thank you for being here. Also want to welcome those that are watching online today. Thank you for connecting with us. And we're praying that God will minister to you today powerfully as well. All right, in the way of announcements, we want to remind everyone of our upcoming annual all church business meeting. It's going to take place on Sunday afternoon, February the 26th at 3 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. And we do have, if you want to nominate someone for deacon, we have forms in the connector. I forgot exactly what the word was, but if you want to put somebody's name down for deacon, you can fill out one of the forms in the connector. All right, we want to remind all the youth that there is a mission trip meeting today at 3 o'clock in room 301, and it seems like we change the pronunciation every week. This week we're going with Yucatan. Yucatan, we looked it up. Dr. Google told us that. So Yucatan mission trip today at 3 o'clock. And it's scheduled for actually July the 17th through the 24th. But if you're interested in getting more information about that trip, please be there today. The youth, they're also having a game night this coming Friday night here at the church from 7 to 9. And also want to remind all the youth that the fine arts registration fees are due, along with the artwork, they're due next Sunday. If you're a young adult, I'm the young adults pastor. I want to invite you to come and join us for our bowling outing next this coming Friday night at Strikers Bowling Alley right here in Jefferson City. Cost is only $10. After bowling, we're going to head over to Los Trojas, a Mexican restaurant on Edgewood. And you just need to sign up by texting me. And then one final word of announcement. Our Valentine's banquet is coming up February the 10th at 6 o'clock next door. We scheduled saxophonist Greg Wynn. We're going to have an awesome meal. The cost is only $17. If you can't afford that, just text Pastor Deanna, and she'll get you added to the list. We'll cover for you. We want you to be there. And this is for singles and for couples. So that's it in the way of announcements. If you would you please stand with us as Heidi comes to lead us?
When peace like a river will tend it my way, oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, yes.
somebody who's looking forward to seeing Jesus. Would you say amen? Amen. You may be seated this morning. Good morning again, everybody, and thank you so much for being with us in church today. Thank you, Brother and Sister Garner, this morning for being with us today. Longtime friends. I first was friends with Keith's dad. Brother Garner was longtime district superintendent of the Northern Missouri District. We served on the Chi Alpha board at the University of Missouri together for a number of years. And what a blessing this family has been to the kingdom of God through the years. And what a great job this morning. As you were sharing your missionary window, as we call it, I thought, I missed it today. I should have had him preach this morning. What a great testimony today, and what good things the Lord is doing around the world. Amen and amen. This morning we look to the third psalm. Together, please turn there quickly and follow along with us on the outline or on the screens today or in your Bibles as we consider this Psalm of David today. Our title this morning, Lord, lift up my head. Lift up my head. Psalm 3 is titled, A Psalm of David When He Fled From His Son Absalom. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Do you ever talk about people behind their backs or to their faces? David said, many are saying about me, God will not deliver him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And everybody said amen. An English poet wrote these words in the early 1800s. The thorns which I have reaped are of the tree I planted. They have torn me and I bleed. I should have known what fruit would spring from such a seed. It is true that many of the deepest heartaches people experience are the results of bad decisions they made long ago. Like chickens that come home to roost, what goes around often comes around. That's a universal principle that the Apostle Paul repeated in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And even when God forgives and sins are washed away, there may be many consequences to deal with because of past sins. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5:24 these strange words. The sins of some men drag behind them at a distance. In other words, you may not deal with the consequences of sinful decisions right away, but the day may come somewhere down the road where heartache may hit. Sometimes heartache comes because of sin, and sometimes it comes because of negligence or foolishness or even because of business left undone. That's the picture we have as we come to Psalm 3 this morning. The title of this psalm sets the context for David's prayer. Psalm 3 begins with these words, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. We'll look this morning at David's dark calamity, David's desperate cries, and thirdly, David's declarative confessions as David expresses his faith in God even in the midst of one of the darkest seasons of his life. We begin with David's calamity. And his calamity was comprised of a variety of compartments. First was his fractured family. Now, sometimes we're not careful when we study the life of David. And we hear that David was a man after God's own heart. And we know that David wrote many of the Psalms. We know that David was a worshiper. David was indeed in many ways a model for us today. His devotion to the Lord, his love for God, his praise to God. But David had his share of baggage. And much of it was a result of his own bad decisions. And the first thing we know about David's trouble is that David had a fractured family. David wrote Psalm 3 amidst the darkest season of his life, while fleeing from his son Absalom, who conspired to steal the kingship from him. Absalom was the third of David's 21 sons. Though Psalm 3 reflects David's view of this crisis, we must note two sad historical realities, and they are these. One, the events of Absalom's rebellion were prophesied 11 years earlier by Nathan the prophet as a judgment from God for David's sin. So before we pity David too much in Psalm 3, we recognize this is a prophecy fulfilled in the life of David. And two, the betrayal and rebellion of Absalom were birthed and nurtured by David's own negligence of his family's health and welfare. David did not tend properly to family crises. Here is a suggested timeline of David's life leading to the rebellion of his son Absalom. About 1000 BC, David becomes king over Judah at Hebron. 7 years later, he is anointed king over all Judah and Israel at Jerusalem. Move now a number of years forward, 980 BC. David commits adultery with Bathsheba and arranges for her husband Uriah to be killed on the battlefield as a cover-up of her pregnancy. This sin of David's is perhaps the darkest blot on his life. He is wandering around on his rooftop at night. He looks down to the rooftops below. He sees an extraordinarily beautiful woman bathing on her rooftop. He sends to get her and has her brought to his palace. She is a married woman, but he commits adultery with her and sends her home. In the course of time, she becomes pregnant. And David arranges for her husband, who is a faithful military officer under David's command. David arranges for her husband. First, he tries to get the husband to sleep with her on a couple of occasions so that it will look like the baby belongs to Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. That doesn't work, and ultimately David resorts to having Uriah put at the front lines of the army while they're attacking a city so that he will be killed. And David commits adultery and murder. Nathan the prophet confronts David, and David repents, but Nathan pronounces God's coming judgment because of these vile sins. Now hear me this morning. God forgives David's sin, but there are still consequences that are going to come about because of them. We go a couple years forward, and Amnon, David's oldest son, rapes his half-sister, Absalom's sister, and David's daughter, Tamar. And David does nothing about it. Several years later, Absalom murders Amnon in revenge for raping his sister Tamar. Absalom flees to Geshur, where he stays for 3 years. Doesn't this sound like a major family drama? much sin involved. And the man in charge of the family sort of lets it all go and doesn't deal with it properly. 974, a couple years later, Absalom returns to Jerusalem. But even when he returns, David refuses to see him for two more years. Finally, they meet, but by now the relationship between David and his son Absalom is ruined. How many of you know that a family relationship can be ruined by neglect? And David's relationship with Absalom is now ruined. 969 BC, Absalom rebels after 7 years of being ignored by his father David. And David flees Jerusalem with a large weeping entourage. And the picture in the Old Testament is a dramatic picture of a massive exit from the city of Jerusalem. King David and his officials and many of his family members and friends march out of Jerusalem. They march down across the Kidron Valley, over the Mount of Olives, over to Mahanaim. And here is this great company of people leaving the city. As they leave, the scripture says that David's head is covered and he is barefoot. And they are weeping and he is put to shame. And David, in the midst of this, is uncertain of what the outcome will be. This was a bad day. David now has left his concubines, we won't even get into all of that today, in Jerusalem. And Absalom has his way with David's concubines. It's a total mess in the city of Jerusalem. And as David is fleeing from his son Absalom, fleeing from Jerusalem, he writes Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Now, Absalom's rebellion is ultimately squashed by David's army. Absalom is killed by Joab as he hangs by his hair in a tree. And David mourns the death of his son. And David just about ruins his relationship with the army in the midst of this as well by his response to all of this. A very dysfunctional picture. David returns to Jerusalem and reassumes the throne. And then in 961, about 8 years later, David passes the throne to his son Solomon and dies after 40 years as king. A terrible chapter in the life of David. And as he writes Psalm 3, this is the backdrop. His fractured family, in the midst of it, his ferocious foes are on the scene as well. And verse 1, David writes in Psalm 3, O Lord, how many are my foes? And how many are rising up against me? The bottom line is, it wasn't just his son Absalom who had turned against him. Many had joined in Absalom's conspiracy and went along with that. David experienced the deep pain of betrayal in this story, not only by his son, but by many of his friends and his trusted companions, Ahithophel and Shimei and Sheba and Mephibosheth and Ziba. Sides were drawn up and many sided with Absalom. His ferocious foes turned against him, and his faithless friends didn't really have any hope. For David, verse 2, David writes, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Now, how would you like to be in the crisis of your life and the people around you were saying about you behind your back, God will not deliver him? And don't you want people who will believe with you for God's deliverance? Sometimes the people that we count on to join with us at least in faith and prayer don't even believe that we can come out of this thing that we're experiencing. And David was in the midst of all of that. His closest friends didn't have faith for him. And David knew how to do this. He had done this years earlier. David knew how to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Look at me, everybody. Sometimes when nobody else is willing to encourage you, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. In fact, sometimes we just have to almost stop up our ears so that we block out what everybody else is saying about us, and we have to look to the Word of God and to the will of God and to the blessings and the promises of God, and we have to believe God sometimes all by ourselves. And the good news is when we trust in the Lord is faithful to come to our aid. God is a good God. Would you say amen? And he is a merciful God. And in the midst of this great calamity, David turns to the Lord. We see on the outline David's desperate cries to God in the midst of this situation. He cried in desperation. Verse 4, to the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. David was a man of prayer. He had prayed countless times during his life. He knew that prayer was the answer and that God would hear. And so David is crying out loud to the Lord, I cry aloud. He cries in desperation and he cries for deliverance. Notice his prayer, verse 7. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. And David is praying that the Lord will deliver him even from his own son, Absalom. What a place to be. David had made plenty of mistakes in his life. He had a dark chapter of sin in his past, but he had repented. He loved the Lord, and David knew whatever was going on in life, the Lord is the answer. Look up at me, everybody. Is there anybody here in the house who would be honest enough this morning to admit and to acknowledge that you have made a few misses in your own life? Sometimes we make a whopper of a mess in our lives. Thank God the Lord does not abandon us when we make a mess. Our God is the one who invades the messes of our lives. Amen. Let me tell you something this morning, friends. The God who would send his son Jesus into a dark, broken, sinful world, a world that was a big fat mess, that God is the God who still invades our messes today. Hallelujah. Don't ever fall for the deception of the devil that tells you that because you have had a hand in your own troubles, that God wants to leave you in your bed. God is not the God who says he made his bed, let him sleep in it. Our God is the God who comes to help us in our times of trouble. Now, God doesn't always do exactly what we want him to do, but God is there to help us. And I found that even when God may not deliver us from something, he helps us to maneuver through it. Yeah. God is on the scene, and David is crying for deliverance. One of the most important lessons in life, when you fail and fall and make a mess, turn to the Lord. Humble yourself. Be honest with yourself and with the Lord. The Lord receives the humble but rejects the proud. Many people want to defend themselves in their times of failure, but I say to you today, don't plead your case. Plead for mercy. Call upon the God of mercy. David himself in this story did not know what the will of God was for the kingdom. As Shimei was cursing David along the road, David said, well, maybe the Lord has told him to curse me. David didn't know what was going to happen, but David knew whatever the outcome was going to be, he needed the Lord's help and he needed the Lord's presence. Isn't that right? We know, listen, sometimes when we find ourselves in big time trouble, we ought to just recognize that whatever happens, we're going to need the Lord on the other side of this thing. And David cried to the Lord. The outcomes of our situation may not always be what we want, but whatever the case, we need the Lord. David's dark calamity, David's desperate cries, And thirdly, in Psalm 3, we hear David's declarative confessions. What did David declare and confess about the Lord in the midst of this dark, dark valley in his life? There are four of them on the outline this morning I want us to focus on for a minute. Number one, David said, "The Lord surrounds me and shields me." Listen to what he says in verse 3, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord." Get that today. The fifth psalm would declare the same thing. "Lord, you surround the righteous as with a shield." I want you to know this morning, if you're a child of God, the Lord's presence is surrounding you. God's presence is there. He is with you. He is holding on to you. He has promised never to leave you and never forsake you. He has promised to stick with you closer than any brother could stick with you. Our God is a faithful companion to us as his children. And his presence is with us. The Lord surrounds me and shields me. He is mighty. The reality is for David, David understood that if it were the Lord's will, now get this, let me be careful how I say this today. David knew if it's the Lord's will to restore me to the kingdom, to the throne, and for me to continue, if it's the Lord's will, then the Lord is more than able to accomplish that. Nothing can come against me and attack me without the Lord's allowance, at least. He's a shield around about me. Secondly, the Lord not only surrounds me and shields me, but the Lord showers me with strength and shine. Perhaps the reason Psalm 3 is familiar to all of you and to all of us today is because of this one declaration in verse number 3, where David says of the Lord, "Lord, you bestow glory on me and lift up my head." I remember years ago singing the little song, "My glory and the lifter of my head." Do anybody remember that little song? "My glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." And as we think about that, the Lord coming in to the midst of our dark valley and bestowing glory upon us and lifting up our heads, we think of the powerful work that God can do even in the midst of the dark valley. Do you remember that David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And David knew that even in the dark valley of the shadow of death, God's presence is there, and God can work in us and for us and even through us in the midst of the dark valleys of life. What does God do in those times? Well, he turns shame into shine. He bestows glory upon. What is glory? Glory is the shine of the presence of the Lord, I guess would be the simplest way we could define it. The Lord bestows glory on us. I think maybe the simplest way we might even think about that in a visible way would be that the Lord turns our frown into a smile. He allows our face to brighten up and allows our countenance to come alive with the presence and the peace and the assurance of God. So that when our face was downcast, the glory of the Lord raises our countenance and he bestows glory upon it. This is the joy and the freedom of the Lord that lifts our countenance. The head hung low is lifted up. And he turns failure into forward focus. Listen to this. He lifts up my head. I hate to use an illustration from such a pitiful source, but I remember an old Hogan's Heroes episode where Sergeant Schultz, who ordinarily knows nothing and sees nothing, had found some counterfeit money on the ground, so he said to Colonel Hogan. And Colonel Hogan says, where did you find that and how did you find that? And Sergeant Schultz says, well, he says, I have a way of looking down all the time at the ground because my head is so heavy. And as I was walking and looking at the ground, I found the counterfeit money. I think of old Sergeant Schultz declaring, I look at the ground a lot because my head is so heavy. And I think about sometimes our spiritual status. Our heads are heavy with pain and grief, sometimes brokenness, sometimes sin and shame. And as our heads are downward focused, we cannot even see the path ahead of us. But thank God this morning, it is the Lord who lifts up our head so that we don't have to look down at the ground any longer. We can look forward into the good future that God has for us. And God is the God not only of the present, He is the God of the future. Hallelujah. There is a future for the people of God. Are you here? I said, there is a future for the people of God. And as we trust in the Lord, He lifts up our head so that we can look forward to see ahead. Looking back leads to endless guilt and obsessive regret. Looking down leads to stagnation and depression. Looking up leads to faith and confidence in God. And looking forward leads to moving into the future God has for us. God has a future for us believers. Looking forward leads us toward what God has for us. Remember, sin and shame, hear me now, sin and shame is why Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin upon Him. He took our shame upon Him. He took our remorse and regret upon Himself at the cross so that we might be released from that burden, set free from the weight of sin and shame, so that we can move forward into His plan and His purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. And I'm glad this morning that the mercies of God are new every morning. You may be here today. You may have messed up 55 times this year. I want you to know God's mercies are new this morning. Grab hold of God. Look up and move forward in the plan that God has for you. The Lord surrounds me and shields me. The Lord showers me with strength and shine. Thirdly, the Lord soothes me and settles me. Listen to this in verse number 5. David said in the midst of all this, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. David was not exaggerating or using a metaphor here. There were 10,000s drawn up against him on every side, trying to take the kingdom from him. David says, I will not fear. I have such confidence in the Lord in the midst of this that I can lie down and sleep and wake again. Because the Lord sustains, the Lord is sustaining me even in the middle of what I'm going through. Think about that. Think about that. Some of you here this morning, you are going through trials. I want you to know this morning, the Lord, you're here in church this morning. How many of you are here in church this morning? Yeah? If you're here in church this morning, then whatever you're going through, the Lord is sustaining you. He woke you up this morning. He got you out of the house. And He is sustaining you. Some who are watching online this morning, maybe you couldn't even get out of the house today, but I want you to know that if the Lord is your God, if Jesus is your Savior, the Lord is sustaining you. He is with you. He is soothing and settling you. And I believe, please allow me to use a little bit of license here this morning as we come to a close with David's fourth confession. And the fourth confession, I believe, is this: the Lord will sort all of this out as I surrender it to him. And I pull that from verse number 8, the final word of this psalm: Lord, may your blessing be on your people. And David, of course, was one of the children of the living God, one of the people of God. And I believe David understood that God's blessing was going to continue to be on his life as he trusted the Lord. Sometimes we don't know what categories, flavors, sizes, shapes the blessing of the Lord will come in. But how many of you will understand and agree with me this morning that if the blessing of the Lord comes, we'll take it? Huh? And how many of you can trust the Lord enough this morning with me to agree that if the Lord's and when the Lord's blessing comes to us in our seasons of distress, his blessing will be exactly what we need? Yes. That's why I think sometimes it would behoove us to pray things like this: Lord, I don't know what I need, but you do. Huh? Lord, I don't know what to ask for. My sweet mom used to say to me on a regular basis, she'd say during the last several years of her life, she would call me on the phone just to ask if there were any prayer requests. She would call and call. Sometimes she would call 6 or 7 times if she missed me. How many of you know mom always has a right to get a hold of you? And she would call and call, and we would connect finally. I might have been in a meeting, but as soon as the meeting was over, I got back with my mom, and she would say to me, I'm just calling to see if there are any prayer requests. We talked about prayer requests often. And she would always say this. She would always say, when I don't know how to pray, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in my prayer language, she said. I encourage everybody in the house today, be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive your prayer language from the Lord. Praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues and unknown tongues is a gift from God described in the New Testament and described very comprehensively in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And then pray in when you don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. And as we trust the Lord, we believe he will sort it all out as we surrender it all to him. Doesn't that sound like the confidence of somebody who has a relationship with God? Huh? Doesn't that sound like more than religion? Yeah. That sounds like a trusting relationship between me and my Heavenly Father. That's what David confessed. As we conclude this message today, we consider 3 lasting life lessons to grab hold of. And they are these: number 1, sin and spiritual negligence can bring many years of heartache. So determine to protect yourself and prioritize your life properly. Now, I look across this congregation today, there are many of you here today who have a lot of regrets in life. I would say that the older we get, the more we have regrets in life. I look across, I see some who are very young in the house today. You really have no regrets, at least not any substantial regrets. You haven't messed life up too very much. Just hang on, buddy. I've learned that in preaching messages like this, the target is different. For some people, I have to say, I know you have lots of regrets. But hang on to the Lord. He can help you even in the midst of this. To others, I am compelled to preach. To others who have perhaps not gone that way, don't mess your life up. When I was a teenager, my favorite verse was Ecclesiastes. Believe it or not, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and you're forced to say, these days are no good. That's the loose LSB translation. Serve the Lord while you're young. Make up your mind. If you haven't lived much of life yet, make up your mind. You're not going to mess up your life with sin. Are you here this morning? Make up your mind. You're not going to mess up your life with sin. Make up your mind. If you're a young family man, a young family woman, make up your mind. You're not going to mess up your family by ignoring things that are important and that are priorities. You're not going to make a mess of your family. You're going to follow Jesus with all of your heart and do the best you can to follow what the Lord says you should do. Could I have an amen? So I preach to the old, let the Lord soothe you in his grace and mercy and forgiveness. I preach to the young, grab hold of God and don't go the way that many have gone, that have messed up their lives. Protect yourself, prioritize your life properly. Number two, past failures may haunt us and bring fresh problems and pain, but the Lord will receive us as we humble ourselves before him. So whatever your status is, get to God. Are you here? Last Sunday morning, it was the psalmist Asaph who encouraged us to know that even when we think things are unfair and not sorted out properly among us, that the best thing we can do is get into the presence of God and find clarity in the Lord. Yeah? And so whatever we're facing, let's humble ourselves before God and draw near to God. Life lesson number three, in the presence and grace of God, there is healing for the deepest hurts, victory in the deepest valleys, and restoration of the brightest hopes. So wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you found yourself in the midst of, don't give up on God. He can take you where you are right now. I declare, even as I read this past week in my Bible, I declare that God is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Even when we deal with the fallout, perhaps, of things in our past, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He is able to turn things around and give joy in the midst of our sadness and sorrow. And he is able to bring hope in the midst of the seasons of dark despair. Our God is alive. And Jesus, our Savior, God's Son, has come to bring us into the family of God so that we might understand God's heart's desire for us. The desire that we might live in his favor and blessing and goodness, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Lord, lift up my head. And help me to see it all from your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.